Our scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Samuel 24, verses 18 through 25. David's altar on the threshing floor. That day, Gad came to David and said to him, "Go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jezreelite." Following Gad's instructions, David went up as the Lord had commanded. When Arauna looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming toward him, and Arauna went out and prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. Arauna said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, so that the plague may be averted from the people." Then Arauna said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Arauna gives to the king." And Arauna said to the king, "May the Lord your God respond favorably to you." But the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will buy them from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar for the Lord and offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. So the Lord answered his supplication for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, entitled, "Do You Love Me? Feed My Sheep." When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. You may be seated.
Did you hear about the story about a man who is a devout and frugal member of a faithful and frugal church? One evening after a productive finance committee meeting, this man came back home out of breath. So his loving wife, who is also frugal, asked him why he is so winded. The frugal husband responds while huffing and panting, "I ran all the way home behind the bus and I saved $1.50. Then the wife says, "Oh yeah? Then why didn't you run behind the text? You could have saved more than $20. Saving money is good. I love saving money too. Yes, frugal living is a good and important. I used to love using all kinds of manufacturers and groceries, stores, coupons, and double coupons. I know they don't have double coupons any longer, but I still love BOGO offer, you know, buy one and get one free. Yes, I love free money too. I always look for all kinds of opportunities for scholarships, grants, and other free money resources for myself when in school and for my two daughters when they were in school as well. Unless you are super rich, I am sure many of you might be enjoying money saving and free money chances too. Of course, saving money or searching for scholarships and grants does not mean that you and I are greedy. No, being frugal is good and essential unless you have nothing but money. Being frugal is not being cheap, stingy, poor, or greedy. While you are being frugal, you can also be generous. We Christians are trying to be frugal, humble, thoughtful, and prudent in managing our financial resources as God's sincere and faithful stewards. As a matter of fact, being greedy simply means that you love money more than anything else. Of course, we know that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, according to Apostle Paul. Here, Apostle Paul is seriously warning believers of the danger of being greedy and urging them not to fall into the temptation of materialism or having idols of money and possessions. Then what would be their consequences? The same verse continues, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Obviously, if you love money too much, and if you even love money more than God, that would be a huge and serious problem. Just as Jesus clearly warns us, you cannot serve both God and money. So, welcome back to my 2025 Stewardship Sermon mini-series, A Journey of Hope. It is the second one and the final one with the main topic of heart giving. This morning, we have shared a passage from the book of 2 Samuel text regarding David's altar on the threshing floor. I'm sure some of you remember this interesting yet not so popular story from the Old Testament, especially from the book of 2 Samuel in the last chapter 24. Let me briefly share with you an overview background story. After a plague ravaged Israel due to a sin of prideful census taking by King David, the prophet Gad instructed David to build an altar on Arunah's threshing floor to end the punishment of plague. So David bought the land and oxen from Arunah, who offer them for free, but David insisted on paying, stating he would not offer sacrifices that cost him nothing. David built the altar, offered sacrifices, and the plague stopped, with the site eventually becoming where the temple was built. From this story of David at the threshing floor, I'd like to share with you three important lessons on stewardship. Number one, stewardship is sacrificial giving. When David went to buy the threshing floor to build an altar for worship, Arauna offered to give it to him for free, along with oxen for the sacrifice. However, surprisingly, David refused this generous free offer, stating, "No, but I will buy them from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." If you were in David's position, would you have taken this free offer? Yes or no? If you say no, are you sure? True worship and devotion involve personal heartfelt investment. David's insistence on paying the full price shows that a gift to God should be valuable and come at a cost to the giver. Sacrificial giving is not just about the amount, but about the heart behind it and the willingness to give something of value. Moreover, David's example challenges us to give God our best, not what is easy or left over. Stewardship is not simply giving from our abundance, but giving in a way that represents our trust and commitment to God. We all remember the story of the widow's mite from the Gospels, Luke and Mark. The lesson of the widow's mite is that God values sacrifice and sincerity over the amount of a gift. A poor widow at the temple gave two small coins, which was all she had. And Jesus taught that her offering was greater than the largest sums of given by the rich, because she gave out of her poverty and gave her whole livelihood. Yes, Jesus says in Luke 21:3-4, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." Yes, the most important point here is that stewardship is sacrificial giving, and it is heart giving. Number two, stewardship is purposeful action. David did not build the altar on a whim. He acted with a clear purpose revealed by God through the prophet Gad. The plague ravaging Israel was a consequence of David's sin, and the altar was the necessary step for reconciliation. Here is the thing. Your action must align with God's will at all times. David's previous action, the unauthorized census, was an act of pride that ignored God's will and brought judgment. Then his later action, building the altar, was an act of repentance and obedience that brought about God's mercy. True worship is not doing good things, but doing what God specifically calls us to do. Yes, right things, edifying things, and righteous things in the sight of God. We are familiar with the story of Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, anointing Jesus' feet with oil is found in John 12:1-8 and other Gospels. The lesson is about extravagant love, worship, and sacrificial giving. Mary used a very expensive perfume to anoint Jesus' feet, wiping them with her hair, which symbolized her devotion, even when some disciples saw it as wasteful and too lavish. However, the main lessons are to give our best to God, show selfless love, and prioritize worship over what others might think. Yes, Mary's action had a very crucial purpose. The act of anointing with perfumed oil was a customary Jewish practice to prepare a body for funeral, burial. Mary's action was timely and prophetic, as she was performing the ritual ahead of time, recognizing Jesus' impending death as part of his destiny to be king. In John 12:7-8, Jesus asserts, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Yes, your action or response has a greater purpose. The purpose of the threshing floor had an immediate purpose, stopping the plague, but also a far greater long-term purpose. Did you know that this threshing floor later became the site of Solomon's temple? This shows how acts of a faithful stewardship can have a lasting, kingdom-expanding impact. Yes, God's love endures forever. So should our love for God and for our church and for our people as well. Number three, stewardship is rightful recognition of ownership. Throughout this story, David acts from the understanding that everything belongs to God. His confession of sin and desire to make a costly sacrifice demonstrate a renewed recognition of God's authority and ownership. We are always called to remember that we are managers, not owners. This David story illustrates the core principle of a biblical stewardship. God owns everything, and we are merely God's managers. David's initial sin was forgetting this and trusting in his own military might rather than God's power. His repentance is a return to this fundamental truth. Yes, in this sense, every resource we have is on lease. Yes, our lives on lease could be long or could be short, but we never own anything. We are not the owners, but God is. Apostle Paul proclaims in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Here, your body refers to not only your physical body per se and mind, but also everything about you, everything you are and everything you have. So whether it is our finances, time, our talent, everything is a resource that God has entrusted to us. Our use of these resources is and should be a form of worship and a reflection of our delightful and faithful recognition of God's ultimate ownership. My sisters and brothers in Christ, my fellow stewards of God's blessings, our annual stewardship campaign is not merely trying to meet the next year's budget, but a precious opportunity for the community of faith and love to learn how we can love God and God's people, and how we can be faithful, discerning, and resourceful in establishing God's kingdom here on earth, among the congregation, in the community, and in the world. From this morning's gospel lesson from John, we read Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" 3 times. Then Jesus is also commanding Peter, "Feed my sheep." 3 times. Yes, in today's context, what Jesus means is, "Take care of my church." 3 times. The number 3, like Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is a perfect number in the Bible. It's a divine number that symbolizes God's eternal presence, God's covenant, and God's love. Yes, in this sense, the entire congregation is Jesus' sheep. He entrusted to us. Yes, you are the sheep. At the same time, you are also the Jesus-following, Holy Spirit-empowered, and God-sent mini shepherds as well. After all, we are the body of Christ. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, according to 1 Corinthians. Therefore, when you realize the true meaning of stewardship, and when you commit yourself to a faithful discipleship, your life will become a journey of hope in Christ. And I invite you to embark on this journey of hope together. Thanks be to God. Amen.